It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, back to Rick Bruce and Lee Cohen, two guys who still argue about whether or not Mr. Ed could really talk.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as our guest on the line, Laura Bennett, who happens to be the chief embracer, but she's also the CEO and the co-founder of Embrace, which is a pet insurance company based in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thanks so much, Rick and Lee.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Laura, can you explain to us exactly what it is that Embrace does?
Well, we provide pet health insurance for cats and dogs across the United States. So that covers both unexpected conditions such as cancer or hip issues or anything even small as ear infections, all the way through to wellness. And so the expected conditions, and that would be wellness like vaccinations and your routine visits for spay, neuter, and even teeth cleaning.
Interesting. And how long have you been doing this?
We're in our fifth year of selling policies, so been doing it for quite a while, but not as long as some other companies. It's been around in the U.S. probably about 30 years now.
Wow. Well, you have a bit of a strong accent. Tell us where you're from and what led you to this.
Well, I grew up in England, as you might have guessed. My parents emigrated to Canada and when I was 16, and I took a bit of a winding path, but worked in Canada for many years and then came down to the U.S., went to Philadelphia to do my MBA. And while I was there, so a friend's cat got sick, and she spent $5,000 on her cat. And we were all astonished, first, that you could spend $5,000 on a cat. and second, she said, wow, I should have had pet insurance. First of all, I thought, wow, that's a very odd thing to think about, because I had never really thought about pet insurance. This is back in 2001, so okay. Not that long ago, but long enough. And she was British, and in Britain, the pet insurance is very common, so it kind of started off from there. We put a business plan into the business plan competition, and we ended up winning with the idea of a pet insurance company. And after that, I myself and someone else decided to do it permanent, you know, sort of as a full-time thing. And that's how Embrace started.
Wow, that's incredible. And I understand, I was looking at your website, and I saw a statistic that said that there are 800,000 pet insurance policies in place in the United States as of 2008. And I'd imagine that that number has gone higher since then. But do you have an idea of what percentage of pets are actually insured?
Yeah, it's the percentage is about 0.6% of cats and dogs insured. That's about a million pets. So it has gone up, increasing about 20-25% a year, and so more and more pets are becoming insured. But it's still very, very low in the grand scheme of things.
Are there other cultures that would actually have a higher percentage, or is this just an unusual concept that the entire world's trying to embrace?
No, in fact, in the United Kingdom, close to 25% cats and dogs insured. In Sweden, it's over 50%.
Huh. And what do you, you actually grew up in England, so what would be the reason? Do you have any idea as to why it would be there but not here?
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, there's no difference in the attitude towards pets. I mean, okay. Americans and British people love their pets equally as much and spend equally as high amounts of money on their pets. But in the United Kingdom, people don't seem to have such a love-hate relationship with insurance, let's just say. People don't mind insurance over there, and I think it's got to do with the fact that over in the United Kingdom, people don't have to worry too much about their own health insurance. And so in the U.S., of course, we have human health insurance is a bit of a struggle, and people do not have such a good positive experience with insurance. So there is some difference that will always be there, but I don't believe it's 25 versus 0.6%.
Right.
So the other part is that the product that started in the United Kingdom is basically covered things that people expected it to. So hereditary conditions, which would be things like hip dysplasia and cherry eye and so on. They'd also paid based on the vet bill that you paid. So the way that pet insurance works is that you go to the vet, you pay your bill, to the vet, and then you send in your claim to the pet insurance company. And the product that started in the United States didn't cover things that were hereditary, and many people weren't aware what those would be, so there would be disappointment if they put the claim in for hip dysplasia and find that, oh, that's not covered,
right.
And it's very expensive, so that's a bit of a shock. And second, if it was covered, they might be capped by a benefit schedule that was in place, and people might not realize that, for example, if you had to have your leg amputated, the benefit schedule, not your leg, of course, your dog's leg or your cat's
sure.
leg, which is a treatment for osteosarcoma, cancer of the bone. And if you put the claim in, you might get back $1,800, but you in Cleveland, that costs over $8,000 to have be treated. So again, that's a bit disappointing, or more than a bit disappointing, if you're really thinking you're going to get the majority of your payment back. So over the years.
And that's with kind of the way it had been, but not the way it is with your particular company?
Yes. So over time, you know, the first few companies that started out had these restricted, payouts. But newer companies have come in since then. There are about 11 companies on the market now. And the newer ones tend to offer coverage for hereditary conditions, which we do, and for chronic conditions, so ones that continue on from policy year to policy year, and we cover those as well. And we pay based on the vet bill itself that you paid. So if you have a deductible of $200 a year and a 20% copay percentage, you know, we take off $200 in the first claim that you had and then apply the 20% that you would sort of cover, but we'd pay you 80% of what you actually paid. And so those are, people are having a much better experience. And so you can see that it's in everyone's interest that people have a better pet insurance experience, because it's a very useful product. It's for people who would pay anything for when their pet gets sick. And so pet insurance is there to protect you from the financial impact of your cat or dog's illnesses.
So affordability, how does that work out? We're used to in a culture where if the pet is perfectly healthy its entire life, we pay our annual type stuff, and then all of a sudden we have these big traumatic expenses, and those have a substantial cost at times. How does this pair? You know, how much money am I taking out of my pocket on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis?
Sure.
In order
to
make that happen.
So the average premium, now it's different for cats and dogs. Cats go to the vet less, and so cats tend to be in the range of 60 to 80% of the price of a dog, all else being equal.
Okay.
But so if we were to pick a typical dog, because actually in our book of business, 85% of our policies are for dogs.
Okay.
And so you would be paying on average about $30 a month for a very nice comprehensive policy. And so what you're doing is you're exchanging the risk that you will have a high unexpected vet bill for something that's consistent, you know, about a dollar a day, that would protect you against these very high unexpected expenses.
Lee, comment on that, because you were mentioning to me that you actually had another form of insurance, and this actually sounds to be an even more generous opportunity.
It does.
Than the one you have.
It does, because candidly, when my wife and I got our purebred Australian Shepherd, we signed up for a program through Banfield's, which is the vet inside PetSmart, and it is a monthly fee that we pay for the ability to, as you say, Laura, to go through and not have to worry if something very large happens, then clearly it's discounted, and it also allows for the regular types of treatments. So, but you're right, Rick, I'm paying more money, so maybe I ought to reconsider and talk to Laura offline about what it is that's going on down there. Laura, I have a couple questions on some of the things that you said. One of the things I want to explore is the cultural difference, because one of the things that Rick and I have learned over time is, for example, in England, we have heard that whereas we have comprehensive dog shows, they are not nearly as comprehensive as the dog shows in England. And there seems to be more of a permissive attitude in Europe of people who pretty much keep their animals with them wherever it is that they go, whereas not quite so much here in the U.S. Do you think that has led to more of an acceptance of this as a family member, and therefore we're going to insure them much as we would care for a family member.
It's an interesting observation. I feel that there are probably pockets in the United States where the animal-human bond is perhaps not as strong as other areas. So you go anywhere in an urban area in the United States, in New York City to Cleveland to L.A. And in between, any cities, people do have a very strong bond with their, mm-hmm. their animals, and it's almost there's a bit of peer pressure. For example, if you're leaving your pooch at home while you're at work, oh, you don't have them in doggy daycare. I mean, it's this sort of thing that you see. But certainly there are areas where the dogs are dogs and cats are cats, and they're working animals. And, if something happens to them, you just swap them out. And that's life. And I think there's a lot more rural areas in the United States than there are in the United Kingdom. It's just a very big population squished into a very small island. Yeah, so you'll come across Embrace in a couple of places. One would be in your veterinary clinic. Your vets will have brochures out of pet health insurance companies, so that's one place in general where you're going to find some information. And the veterinarians are becoming more and more interested in pet insurance as it's proven to be more of a useful tool, and something that their clients should and would be interested in. Vets tend to not want to talk about the cost of veterinary care because they tend to be more caring people and not thinking so much about the business aspect of it.
Sure.
Not that they're not business people, but they're not focused on the cost, and so it's a bit shocking to people when they discover how much things actually do cost. You can also find us on the web. Of course, we have a great website, embracepetinsurance.com. And there's also an industry organization, NAFIA, which is the North American Pet Health Insurance Association. I'm the chairman of the board of that association, and it's NAFIA, NAPHIA.org. And there's information on the website there for general discussions about pet health insurance.
Interesting. We're talking this morning with Laura Bennett, who is the CEO and co-founder of Embrace Pet Insurance. And Laura, I wanted to ask you a question kind of looking out into the future, because one thing, I don't know that Rick Preuss is thinking it, but I think that he is. Rick sells a number of different animals, reptiles, small animals, some of which have a lifespan that is similar or longer than dogs. What are your plans in terms of expanding your insurance business into some of these other animals that, frankly, sure. can require extensive surgeries and incur a lot of the same problems that dogs and cats do?
Oh, absolutely. There's, and things like cockatoos can live for,
That's
years.
Exactly what I was thinking.
And so we don't offer coverage for that because I felt that we wouldn't have the expertise in that sure. area. And the numbers are much, much smaller. There is one company, Veterinary Pet Insurance, VPI, that does cover these, alternate pets, if you like.
Sure.
But even then with them, and them being the only pet insurer that covers it, it's something like 0.5% of their insured pets in this category. It's certainly a very small percentage. So, as much as we would love to cover everything, we want to do it in a way that we feel that we can, we do it with the quality that we can do it for cats and dogs.
Interesting. Well, the good news is if the growth is 25% during what many would perceive to be the worst economic times in the United States in the last 60 or 70 years, I can only imagine the growth curve that your business is going to go on when the economy is going a lot better. And I'm imagining that that's your thought as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. We it's been very interesting to see the reactions to people because during the Great Depression or recession, I guess I should say, but we've realized that while pets, that they're not recession immune, but certainly recession resistant, and people are still spending money, the discretionary income, on their pets, and will sometimes forego luxuries for themselves just to make sure that their pets have the appropriate gear they would like. So
we're running out of time, but I do want to at least mention that you have an excellent voice on the radio, and you might just be a perfect voice for any particular character that you decide to come out with for your insurance program.
I agree.
Yes, we need a
well,
nice...
My business partner is actually Australian, so we've actually got two between us. So.
Oh, there you go. It might even be a pair of characters embracing each other. There you go.
Well, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it, Laura. We've been speaking this morning with Laura Bennett, who is the CEO and co-founder and chief embracer of Embrace Pet Insurance. Thanks again, Laura. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rick and Lee. Appreciate
you bet.
Have a great day. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.